friends, thanks for taking time to listen in on a conversation I had with two friends of the podcast, Colin and Jacob, about number twos to high-profile number ones. John, Dick, and I have been trying to figure out when to release this conversation from winter break, and now that silly season seems to be in full swing, there appeared to be no better time. So here's a question I pose to our friends. What do you think about the guys who were in the number two seat compared to their high-profile number one drivers? Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, and Fernando Alonso. Before we get to the recording, quick ask. If you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and share our episodes with your fellow F1 fans. Hope you enjoy our conversation. I am super excited to introduce another friends of the podcast, Jacob and Colin. You're both friends of John, which I'm super excited because everyone knows I'm a big John fan, and I'm really grateful for his friendship and how he's brought me into the sport. And I get the sense that he has probably mentored both of you in the sport as well. So that's a little bit of camaraderie between the three of us. And then most importantly, y'all three are pilots together. So I think that's an interesting factoid that our listeners will probably get a kick out of. And we're talking today about some of the hot topics in the world of F1. You know, there's a lot of high-profile number one drivers. Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso. But they also have number two drivers, Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz, George Russell, and Lance Stroll. What do you both think about these guys who are in the number two seat? You can introduce yourselves and then answer the question.
Yeah, I'm Jacob. The first one on the list I think that stands out to me is probably George Russell. The newest one of the bunch, and when I didn't know much about him, when I saw the driver pairing, I'm a new F1 fan, right? I pay attention to F1. I'm maybe still growing my horizons on everything else, and so the pathway into F1 is confusing, and Russell was someone I didn't know about until he basically made it, right? So, okay, there's a new person coming in the door. Who is this? And I was a little bit skeptical of someone having to contend with you know, driving next to Lewis. That sounds like a really difficult thing. Lewis himself is an absolute giant. So I was skeptical. I wasn't sure it was going to go very well. And I've been blown away by everything that George has done, really. So I think it's really interesting when people come in. They come in different skill levels, but they also come in different teams. And, you know, maybe you have adversity based on the team that you're with because the team itself struggles or the team itself is really good. And in this case, you have the other driver that he has to drive against. So I expected to see someone who needed to go through a lot more growing pain, I guess. And I was really impressed that George just came straight in and had to, like, you know, own the place.
So that didn't put you off, Jacob, that he kind of had that bravado?
I think it was impressive to me, right? It would make a lot more sense if we saw him, you know, balling up a car every other weekend and maybe struggling to understand how to handle all the attention and the media and all these things. And I mean, there's so much tact that these drivers have to be involved with. And like, the team messes something up or you mess something up and it ruins the weekend. How do you sell that when you get in front of the cameras and talk about it, right? I mean, you don't want to throw your team under the bus. You don't want to just take it and roll over and people forget what really happened. Like, I think a driver has, you know, in certain circumstances, they want to pin the blame somewhere so that you realize it wasn't their fault or whatever. And that seems childish, but also it can be important to the way that you're remembered and the way that the career goes. And so anyway, so I guess it would make more sense to me if you know, a new driver had problems with this. And I was just really impressed that he walked in and knew how to handle things with tact, knew how to adapt to the car, and really didn't take very long before he was being a great number two and, you know, putting pressure on and scoring points and, you know, all that stuff.
Okay, Colin, I want to make sure you get to chime in.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, everyone, I'm Colin. I have really similar outlooks on George. I think especially when he first started at Mercedes, he was kind of figuring out his place in the team. But I mean, truly, he has at times very much outshined Lewis, especially last season. He was doing really well. Honestly, I think the big one for me is Carlos Sainz. I'm a big Ferrari fan. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not. But I mean, he's very consistent, even with all of the curveballs that he's thrown with both the strategy and the car, because we've seen, you know, mechanical issues happen. But he's a very consistent driver. He's very good in PR and stuff, like Jacob was talking about. It's a big thing for the sport. They get paid a lot to do PR. And I think he's a very, very good representation for Ferrari especially, and he's an advocate, so that's really important.
I look at George's ascendancy, and I definitely think that the time in Williams prepped him to kind of get those rookie, problems probably out of him. And then when he's come to Mercedes, I definitely think he's put pressure on Lewis, and it's a good matchup. Do I think they're necessarily totally evenly matched? I don't know. I don't know that yet. It's still to be determined, because there's been some moments, as you've noted, that like the blame issue, it's like you're trying to figure out, is it him? Is it the car? It's got to be hard and mentally that you have to come in and know you're competing against one of the greatest of all times when it comes to Formula One. And that I don't know that I could walk in there with that level of confidence as he's done. I love what you said, Colin, about Carlos. I'm a Charles Leclerc fan for sure, but I also highly respect Carlos. And I actually think they two are super matched up well. Driving skill, their banter when you see them in the PR social media space does not seem contrived. There seems to be a genuineness to him. And you can see he's congenial across the paddock, especially like with Lando and others. He just seems, I don't know if that's because of his racing pedigree with his dad and having grown up around motorsports, but I do agree with you that he's definitely a wonderful brand representative for Ferrari on that. But what about Lance Stroll? What about Sergio? What do you guys think about those two?
I have been actually kind of disappointed with Lance Stroll.
Really?
Because his F2 season was phenomenal. I mean, he was great in that championship. And then coming into F1, I think the outlook a lot of people have, especially with everything that's gone down with him on Aston Martin, is that it's his dad kind of driving him having a seat on the team. And for some part, I see that, because the results haven't really been there, especially recently. The results were not there. Like, he's fairly consistent, but I wouldn't necessarily peg him as a number one yet. I think he has the potential, especially with his F2 career and stuff. Phenomenal. But I'm not seeing it in F1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know off the top of my head how long Lance Stroll has been in F1. But I don't have that data, but I guess I feel like he's been around a while. He's got some experience. But at the same time, I feel like with Aston Martin, it's kind of been, with everything they've been going through, but it's been kind of up and down with how matched I feel Stroll is with his teammate. I guess I would expect somebody that's been in F1 as long as I think he has to be probably more consistent, naturally.
Yeah. So I just looked it up online. It looks like he joined Williams in 2017. So what you're saying, Jacob, well, both of you are saying about longevity, he's definitely, we would all agree, he's not a rookie. He's not rookie year one or two, which I feel like anybody who's a rookie should be given those 2 years to figure it out at minimum, if not more, depending on, you know, how they're performing. I just wonder, well, so it's interesting that it was at Williams and he was paired up with Felipe Massa, and then he came to Racing Point. It looks like he was, I'm trying to really quickly read this, but it looks like it might have been with Esteban Ocon. I don't remember all these matchups. But I do remember him being at Racing Point with Checo. And then, of course, when Aston came, then to be with Seb. And I think the last few years, especially being against two world champions, I always wonder how fair is that, how healthy, but he wasn't a rookie in those years. So that's where I don't necessarily know that I would give a lot of grace. Do you think that when it comes to the things that you noted on the other two guys, do you think that he's done the good PR marketing aspect, especially when dad owns the team?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting person, an interesting driver, right? So I enjoy when he gets in front of the camera and does an interview or whatever. Like, that's always a good experience, I think, and he's pretty good at that stuff.
I agree on PR. And actually, to chime in on the world champion side of things, Fernando has surprised me, because him at McLaren, completely different driver than him at Aston Martin recently. He carried that team all season. They did phenomenally in the start, and I mean, he's carried it throughout the entire season. But I feel like that's a lot more fair than him and Seb. I feel like the knowledge base there was a lot different, even though, I mean, Fernando's a phenomenal driver. But I feel like his comeback and taking a gap from Formula One and coming back is a little bit better than Seb coming straight from Ferrari, where he was doing very, very well, and going against Lance Stroll. So there is some grace there, but even against Fernando, I think he should do better than he has.
Interesting. I like that point both of you guys have made. Okay, what about Checo? I think that's probably the hardest seat to be a number two. What do you think?
Yeah. I like Checo a lot. I liked him in his first season with Red Bull. I think you see a lot of, especially in the Red Bull seat, but in a lot of teams, you see a lot of fighting. You know, a number two driver never wants to be a number two driver, right? And that's driven a lot of people to make moves within F1. And Checo kind of got this chance and came in, and I thought from the start, I thought he was kind of more of a team player than I'm used to seeing in a sport that has this weird, we're a team, but really this isn't a team sport, and kind of thing going on. And I don't know, I thought that was really impressive. I liked him when he came into Red Bull a lot. I thought that was cool. And it's just, this year has been a little bit painful to watch.
How do you think you stay motivated when your teammate is just so far ahead of you? Have you guys thought about that? I've wondered that question.
I mean, that's the worst thing, right? Because you've got the same car. And so it's the best metric we have in F1. And on one hand, like, I can see, I mean, just kind of banging your head on a wall, trying to figure out how to improve and how to match up, you know, to match Verstappen. And I think the only thing you can think about is that Checo isn't the only one, right? He's with the rest of the entire grid that can't catch him. And he, apart from his obvious issues this season, when he's performing the way that we know he can perform, he's very much at the front of the grid. He's scoring well when he gets out of his own head and drives the car. And so I guess it's one of these things that it's almost impossible to compare to Max, and you got to compare to where he's fallen with the rest of the grid, which is very, very, very well.
I definitely agree. I think he's definitely, I think, the most team player of anybody else on the grid, except maybe Carlos, because Carlos does a really good job of that as well. But he does whatever the team asks of him. I mean, truly fantastic driver, keeps the car where it needs to be. I mean, it's been him and Max P1, P2. So the results kind of speak for themselves.
I might be changing the topic a little bit, but the more I think about it, what's impressive to me in some of these high profile, like, second spot drivers are probably the way they work within the team and with each other, right? Like, Sainz and Leclerc, isn't Ferrari, at one point, didn't they say, like, oh, we don't have a first and a second driver, we have drivers? And I'm not sure I would, well, anyway, if there's anywhere that's true, it is probably Ferrari, because they're a great matchup. But I think about, you know, Checo, I think about Sainz, even Russell, they all are doing a really great job, but they realize they're the number two driver. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, it doesn't mean that you might one day be the number one driver, but they realize where they are today, and they're going to do that role, and they're going to keep, you know, working. And it results in, when the team exceeds, I think they exceed and do well. I think that's what I really like about these people we're talking about.
They understand they're number two, but they're not satisfied with number two, but they're not doing it to the detriment of the team, because they realize that ultimately will also affect them. Right? Like, you, well, especially because, what was it? It was Seb and Mark Webber. Their acrimony, I think, was probably so difficult for Red Bull to be able, all those years ago. I don't know if you're familiar with that part of the history, Jacob. But when you watch the anger that was between those drivers, and I've listened to other podcasts and watched other documentaries about other rivalries within teams, and thought that it's got to be extremely hard for the team to manage that when ultimately the team's goal is to get up there to the constructors. And you do understand that desire of the racer to want to be number one, like nobody is racing for number two. And so that gives me more respect for these guys that we're talking about, that they found that mental agility to still push for themselves while inside the corporate team, you know? So I like that you brought that up. Colin, you're nodding your head. What are your thoughts?
It's all, I mean, the same kind of things. I think the place you can see that the most is George Russell. He's been using Lewis as, I feel like, more of a learning experience than anything else, and kind of seeing where his pace is stacking up. He's talked about it a lot in interviews that he's using Lewis as kind of a role model to follow. And I think that's a good play from him, because obviously Lewis is a giant of this sport and he does a great job with Mercedes and they're obviously very happy to have him. So following what he's doing is probably a pretty good way to be successful. I think he's got a really bright future. I mean, he's been doing phenomenally, and I definitely think at some point he will be a number one driver, maybe even a world champion. I think he's got it.
Wow. I think definitely Carlos has that potential as well to be there. But I do realize time is fleeing, and so we probably ought to stop the conversation here. But I hope that we can have other conversations on other topics. And I really do appreciate both of you giving us your time, and I look forward to future conversations with you both.
Okay, friends, what did you think of our conversation? Drop me a line via email, sabrina@twoguysagirlandf1.com. Can you help us out? If you haven't already, please take a moment to follow us and give us 5 stars on your favorite podcast app, as well as share this episode with other F1 fans. We know our growth is because of you, and the guys and I thank you. And with that, let me say, we'll keep talking and you can keep listening in, because we're just two guys, a girl, and F1. For John, Dick, and me, Sabrina, thanks for listening.